The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on Easter Sunday, April the 21st, 2019. For more information about our church, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this Easter Sunday, a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the hope for humanity. It is good to have you in this place today, and we hope that this hour of worship is meaningful to you. If you're a guest with us, maybe from out of town, it is wonderful to have you here, and always give people a chance to say hello to you when you leave. They can give you some good advice on what to see in Savannah. And also, if you are a guest who is in town, it's good to have you in this place as well. At some point in the service, if you would, fill out one of our guest cards in the pew in front of you, place it in the offering plate when it comes by. It helps us get to know you a little bit, and we can send you some stuff later. And as always, to our family, to our church, to our community, the people who we walk through life together with, it is good to be back in this place, and especially on this Sunday. May you join me as we worship the risen Christ. And will you join me in this call to worship? Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Stones roll away. Tombs are open. New possibilities are born. Women sing for joy, and men race to share the good news.
Thanks.
The Easter joy of the living Christ Jesus be with you all.
And Redeemer God, in the beginning you called forth light in the midst of chaos and darkness, and you breathed life into your creation. With the coming of Easter, we recognize that once again you have spoken into the chaos and darkness of Good Friday and called forth light in the person of your Son Jesus, raising him from the dead. We celebrate the new life you have breathed into your creation, a life now marked by resurrection. Through your redeeming work, death has been defeated. Through Christ, all shall be made alive. We lift our voices in glad alleluias as we proclaim with all your people everywhere that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In the name of the one who lives and reigns with you now and forever, amen.
Our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Guys, doing this morning. So I don't know about you, but when I am learning about something, it's easier for me to visualize what I'm learning about. So I have a little experiment that we're going to do this morning together, and I hope it works out. So what I've got up here is a plate, and I've got a penny, and our penny is going to represent all of humankind, okay? So all of us, so me and you and everybody here today, and even people that we've never met and we don't know. And then I have a candle in the middle, and we're going to light our candle. And this is going to represent Jesus. Have you ever heard of people refer to Jesus as the light of the world? So that's what we're going to have here. And then I've got some really blue water that I put blue food coloring in. So we're gonna pour this out, and our water that's really blue is gonna represent sin, because we all sin. And then I've got this cup here. But when we talk about Jesus, and you probably hear a lot about Easter time, when Jesus died for all of us and he takes away our sins. So if we put this cup right on top of our candle, very slowly, the light ends up dimming and dimming, and it goes out. But then do you see how all of our water here has been drawn up into the glass, and it leaves our penny clean? So that's kind of like a little image for all of us to remember how Jesus works in our lives. So will you say a prayer with me this morning before we go back to our seats? Risen Jesus, compel us to share the good news of your life wherever we may go. May our hearts overflow with joy at your resurrection. Amen.
First lesson, Acts 10, 34 through 43. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who are chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." This ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second lesson comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to God. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the written word of the Lord. Last week, on Monday morning, I got a text from my mother that said that my aunt, who had lived across the street from me most of my life, had had a stroke, and that she was dying. I, of course, called my mother, and she told me the story of what had happened, that she had gotten a call that my aunt had had a stroke. She went over to her house. She walked in. My aunt was still there, still living. The paramedics came, and they took her to the hospital, and my mother said, "It won't be long. I don't think she's going to make it." She said, "I've seen this before, and I know how this ends." It's a story that my mother knew how it was going to end. And last Tuesday, sure enough, my aunt died. My mom knew the story. She knew what would happen. And listen, you know, there's tons of stories. We live in where we know how it will end. And we know that the ending is probably not going to be good. So when we hear that someone we love has some terminal diagnosis, we know how that ends, right? Or
when a loved one is addicted to some substance, we usually know how that will end, and it usually isn't great. Or when the underprivileged or the oppressed try to stand up to the system, we usually know how that's going to end, and it's usually not going to end well. Or when, like, an athlete who has had a scholarship to a big college gets a certain injury and can't play anymore, we usually know how that will end. And it usually doesn't end with them playing sports again. Or as a high school teacher, something I notice and watch a lot, when a girl or a boy finally gets the courage to ask that person that they like how they feel, but you know that the other person is not going to feel the same way. And I just watch it happen and I'm like, oh, that's not going to go well. Like, we know how that story ends. I know how that story ends. That was my whole middle school. So I have lived that story. But these stories that end in disappointment and disillusionment and depression and even death, like, we know those stories because we've lived them, some of us, or we're in the middle of them. And boy, we just want something good to happen. Like, we know those stories to be true because we've seen it happen before, because we know how life is. It's not unlike a lot of the stories that are in the Bible either. For those of you who aren't familiar, how the scripture text that gets picked every Sunday happens, there's this thing called the lectionary that tries to make sure that the church reads through the Bible every 3 years. And so there's suggestions every Sunday on these are the scriptures that should be read. And there's usually five, okay? But during Easter, there is this thing called the Easter Vigil that some churches observe. And do you know how many scripture passages you can choose from for the Easter Vigil? There are 28 passages of stories that we could read. We could go through all 28 of them. We're not, but I'm just letting you know. There's 28 you can choose from. I mean, we could have read the story of creation, where God looks over the chaos and says, let's make something, and brings order out of the chaos and creates humanity. Like, we could have read that story if we wanted to, or we could have read the story of God telling the first humans, whatever you do, don't eat that, which is the kiss of death, right? I mean, anyone who has children, you know, if you want your child to do something, tell them not to do it. Don't, whatever you do, don't look in the fridge. Whatever you do, don't go into that room. Guess what's going to happen right away? They're going to do it. God says, don't eat that or surely you will die. And guess what they do? They eat it and they hide. Like, we know how that story should end. It should end in death because that's what God said would happen. We could have read that story. Or we could have read the story of Noah. You remember Noah and the big boat with all the cute animals, right? God is done with humanity, ready to destroy everything. And God taps Noah and says, hey, Noah, will you build a boat for us? And rescues these animals and Noah's family. We should know how that story should end. It should just end in death. And we could have read that story. We could have read the story of Abram, this guy who's just working at his home, doing his thing. He's old, and God comes and says, Abram, I want you to do something special. I'm going to promise you some land. I'm going to promise you a nation. I'm going to promise you a child. And in the world that Abram lives in, they lived in a cyclical world. In other words, what had always happened before is what was going to happen. If Abram's father owned a shop, guess what Abram was going to do? He was going to go own the shop and sell things. And God comes and says, let's do something different. We know how that story should end. It should end with Abram just doing the same thing everybody else did. And we could have read that story. We also could have read the story of Abraham nearly killing his son Isaac. God comes to him and says, hey, I want you to make your son a sacrifice. And Abraham says, okay. And he goes and tries to do it. They go up this mountain. He's got knife in hand, and he's ready to kill Isaac. That story should end with Isaac's death. Because Abraham is surrounded by lots of other people who worship other gods, and those gods demand that one kills their son. And so it's no surprise that Abraham goes and tries to do it, and it should end in death. We could have read that story. Or we could have read the story of Moses and the Israelites, backs against the sea, and the Egyptian army coming down on them, ready to kill them all, because we know the story of what happens when the oppressed rise up against the empire. It usually just ends in death. Now, we could have read that story. The last many Wednesday nights here at First Baptist, we have heard a lot of stories. As a matter of fact, we've been walking through the last week of Jesus, and we have been using the practice of spiritual imagination to imagine what those scenes felt like from the perspective of people who would be supporting cast. And so each week, people in our church have written stories from the perspective of different characters. So last week, we got to hear a story from the perspective of the tree in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prays at. We've gotten to hear a story of the blind man who is healed by Jesus. We've gotten to hear from the perspective of the moneylenders in the temple. We even got to hear from the perspective of the donkey that rode in during Palm Sunday. I think we gave it to the wrong group. Chaos ensued after we gave it to that crew. But it was still great to hear their story and their perspective. And we've wanted to imagine how these characters may have experienced the stories they were in. And so when we get to today's gospel reading, we enter a story in which we know how it should end. Jesus has stood up to the powers, and they killed him. Because that's what happens when someone stands up to power and chooses love over power. They usually get killed. And so in this story, Jesus should be dead. This should be a story of Jesus friends just visiting the graveside. And so this morning, I want us to hear from Mary. I've asked Gay to read a story from the perspective of Mary and how she experienced this Easter morning.
I haven't been able to sleep the last few nights, not since I heard Jesus had been arrested. Friday morning was frantic and chaotic. We were scared, not just for Jesus, but for ourselves as well, not knowing who to trust, trying to get word about what was going on. And when the word finally came, well, I knew it was going to be terrible. I've seen what the Romans can do, but I couldn't let him die alone, and so I went to the cross. Jesus died, and nothing will ever be the same. There have been no tears on my part. I haven't had time to mourn. I've spent the last day taking care of the others, making sure they eat, trying to figure out what we'll do now. But early this morning, after another night of not sleeping, I went to the tomb. I thought, I have to talk to Jesus even though he's gone. And to my dismay, he really was gone. Someone had taken his body. I was so angry. I ran to tell Peter and John, and they took off running. I slowly made my way back to the garden. I didn't know what else to do. Peter and John were nowhere to be found. I guess they had come and gone. The grief I had been holding at bay suddenly swept over me, and I started sobbing uncontrollably. And then everything happened so quickly. Through my tears, I thought I saw two men who asked me why I was crying. It didn't make any sense. I don't know if they were even really there. Then the gardener started talking to me, and my grief turned to rage, and I just wanted him to tell me what they had done with Jesus. And then I heard something I never expected to hear again. Mary, said with such love and tenderness, like a voice calling and welcoming me home. As I left the garden, I walked calmly, turning his words over and over in my mind. And then I started running as I've never run before. I have to find Peter and the rest of them. I have to tell them, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and nothing will ever be the same.
And things have never been the same. That story that should end in death, yet it does not. Christ conquers sin, and Christ conquers death, and is alive, and Christ rises in life. And boy, don't we want something to rise up in our own life, because the stories that we're used to usually end in a not great place, and yet in this story, we are promised that something rises. It really shouldn't be a surprise to us, but sometimes it does, that we see resurrection happen. It shouldn't be a surprise to us, because the stories we often tell often end in darkness and in death, and we've lived them, and we want things to change. And God has been bringing life from death for a long time. So this resurrection shouldn't surprise us. You remember all those other stories we could have read? Moses and the Israelites at the sea, they should die, but the sea opens up, and the very thing that should kill them becomes the path that brings life. Abraham with the knife in hand, ready to kill Isaac, that story, it should end in death, but God says, nope, not going to happen. That is not the kind of God I am. And Abraham and Isaac walk down the mountain in life. Abram should just stay with his family and let what has always been continue to be, but he leaves based on the promises of a God he just met, and he walks into life. Noah, it should end in death, but the ark opens up and his family comes out into life. And Adam and Eve hiding and ashamed, it should end in death, but God said, because God said that it would, and yet God makes clothes for them and sends them out living. And in the beginning, chaos existed, and God chose to create and to do what? To bring life out of darkness. So when we get to this garden, when we get to this graveyard, we should not be surprised that Christ is risen and that Jesus is alive. In all those other stories, God was bringing life out of death, and now Jesus brings the final victory over sin and over death, and we rejoice in our rescue. There is a part of the resurrection story that we celebrate because it promises eternal life for us in Christ. And perhaps that is what resurrection means to you today. But I'm struck sometimes in this story by how little fanfare there is in the resurrection. There's no big parade. There's no cosmic events of stars aligning. There's no, light shining down from heaven, no angels singing. It's really kind of a quiet event, isn't it? What you see there is just a woman peering into the tomb, two disciples, one who believes, one whose belief we don't really know from the story in John, Mary, who is confused and realizes who Jesus is when he calls her name. Resurrection was realized when she saw Jesus was right there all along calling her name. I wonder if for many of us today, Christ's resurrection challenge today is that we practice this resurrection, that we are given eyes to see when the light is peering into the darkness, and we see resurrection happening. Because resurrection so many times in this world and in our own lives happens when a small bits of light find a way into the darkness. Years ago, In 2010, Palm Sunday was a hard Sunday for our family and for Nikki's extended family. Nikki's grandmother died on that day, and we walked through Holy Week preparing for a funeral. And on Saturday, we gathered and we said goodbye. On Sunday, we decided that we would go to the graveyard. And we decided that as a symbol of a goodbye and of letting go, we would take balloons for each member of the family. And so we gathered at Bonaventure, balloons in hand for each one of us. And there were 7 balloons and 6 of us. And at a moment, we decided to let go as a symbol of our letting go. And we watched as those balloons flew over the marsh of Bonaventure. And then at an opportune moment, we turned around and Nikki and I were standing there with another balloon. And someone said, "Oh, Josh, you didn't let your balloon go." And I said, "Yeah, I did let my balloon go." And someone said, "Well, we have an extra." And I said, "Actually, we don't. There are the exact number of balloons for the exact number of people who were here." And on that Easter morning, standing in the graveyard, we said, "Nikki and I are actually expecting. And this balloon is for the life yet to be born." And we let that balloon go. In that place, in that dark moment, the light of resurrection was cracking open. And a light was shining in on us, reminding us that resurrection happens. And it may not be with huge fanfare, but boy, it cracks open and brings light into our life and reminds us that we get to practice being that light and practice this resurrection. And so on Wednesday nights, when our church writes letters to our homebound members and they open their mailbox and see them, there's some light shining in and a reminder that the story can end in hope. When we volunteer at Emmaus House, there's some light shining into the lives of people. A reminder that the story can end in hope. When we simply say a kind word to a friend or a coworker in a world where kind words are not often said, we're shining some light that resurrection is possible and the story can end in hope. When I can pull that kid who just got brokenhearted aside and say, "Hey, one day there will be someone who says, 'Hey, I like you too.'" There's some light shining in and a reminder that the story can end in hope. And when we walk with people through their darkness, there is some light shining in and there is a reminder that the story, your story, can end in hope. And in our life, a story can bring light to someone who is in great need of being reminded. The story does not have to end in hopelessness. And so, like Mary, we can experience the resurrection and remind others that hope is here, that Jesus is alive, and it means that the stories we tell have a new ending, because God is in the business of bringing life from death. So today, let's go and proclaim this resurrection and practice it in all we do, because Christ's resurrection brings hope and light into our world. Amen. The God who raised Jesus from the dead satisfies the hunger and thirst of every living thing. And so we look to God whenever we are in need, trusting in God's love and abundant goodness. So may we pray, first with silent prayer, and then the prayer of God's people. Let us pray. God who raised Christ from the dead, today our songs of praise, our acts of worship, even the flowers that grace our worship area, shout the good news of new life. Our voices, our hearts, even the colors proclaim joy at the news of the resurrection of Christ. And we also rise in hope and celebration at this good news. The Lenten journey has been long. And it does not end here, but rather we are given a new way to live in the world, to go forth in confidence as we give witness to the good news of the resurrection and the power of God's love in Christ Jesus. Living Christ, we thank you for coming to this world and entering our human pain. And Christ, who in the secret darkness rose from the grave and gave us life, we praise you. You who sent the women to proclaim the resurrection to the frightened and hidden apostles, we ask that our lives and in our lives and in our world, you come and be in every painful place, that you would come and be in the secret dark places in our lives. And we ask you come and empower us in every frightened and hidden place to step out of the darkness and practice the resurrection by proclaiming hope in the world. God, we pray especially this morning for people in Sri Lanka who have experienced violence this morning. And God, we pray that you would bring healing there and that you would bring people to help and people to comfort. God, may we remember that we are called to be bearers of light and hope to areas in which darkness still stands. And keep us open to the needs and hearts of other people. And help us not be so quick to condemn as we are to love. Help us to reach out in kindness and compassion whenever and wherever we can for healing and hope. Remind us again of the many ways in which you have and continue to bless our lives. Risen Lord, today we remember our hopes and dreams have come true, and we do not have to fear death, for you go before us. And praise be to God, who has raised Christ from the dead and given us new life. Open our hearts to receive your wondrous words of love, and help prepare us for the opportunities to serve you by serving others. In the name of the risen Christ, the source of all life, we pray as you taught your followers to pray when they prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We gather together this Easter Sunday to tell the story we tell every Sunday, the story of resurrection and new life. We gather together to celebrate and proclaim the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. One way we do this is through the ministries of Jesus expressed through this community of faith. All of us, we're all invited to choose to give gladly and to be part of the story we tell. Let us pray. God of new life and God of hope, we thank you that you have given us a story to tell that ends in life and not death. And we are grateful to be part of the continuing story of your love and grace. We thank you that you have brought each of us here to be part of this community, that we tell the story together as we journey to the place where you call us. Bless the gifts we give that they may bless others. In the name of the risen Christ, our hope for the journey, and our companion along the way. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who want to follow this resurrected Christ, or anyone desiring to join this worshiping community, or if you just want to come up and pray at the kneelers, you can do that as well as we sing this hymn together.
you would be seated for just a moment. Just one announcement. This week, as always, we have a Wednesday night dinner at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 we have our Wednesday night activities for the kids and for the youth and the adults this week. And for the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be continuing the series that we did before Easter, the one that I told you about where we were walking through the final week of Jesus and seeing those events from the perspective of different folks. But we're going to do it through the post-resurrection stories. And so you can join us at 6 o'clock across the street in Lewis Hall if you want to be a part of that. Other than that, that is it. So hear this benediction and then this choral response sung by the choir. We have seen the Lord this day, and now go into the world and spread this good news. God is good. Jesus is victorious and alive. And may you be blessed, and may you be a blessing. In the name of the Creator and Redeemer and Sustainer, now go and practice this resurrection. Amen.
To a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia. We would love for you to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. For more information about First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. At First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, all are welcome.